Lesson 7, For Its Own Sake. In this lesson, we're going to move on to Mishnah number 3 of Pirkei Avot, Perek Aleph, chapter 1. Antigonos ish socho kibel Shimon atzadik. Antigonus, the leader of a place called Socho, received the tradition from Shimon HaTzadik. So remember, Shimon HaTzadik was the guy in the second Mishnah we've been learning for the last four lessons. He's also the first person mentioned by name in the rabbinic lineage, and now we're on to the second person mentioned, Antigonus. Interestingly, Antigonus is a Greek name, not a Hebrew name, indicative of the Hellenistic influence of that time, which is what the famous Hanukkah story is all about. Antigonus lived in the first half of the 3rd century before the Common Era. Okay, back to our text. Hu haya omer, he used to say, Al tiyu kavadim hamshamshin et harav, amenat lekapel paras. Don't be like the servants who serve their master for the sake of receiving a reward. Ela, rather, tihyu kavadim amshamshin et harav shelo amenat lekabel paras. Be like the servants who serve their master, not for the sake of receiving a reward. Vihi morashamayam aleichem. And let the awe of heaven be upon you. So let's look at the first part of this teaching. Antigonus says you shouldn't be like a servant who's serving the master to receive a reward. In other words, he's really saying two things here. First, that you should be like a servant in a sense. The word for servant, eved, is also the word for slave, so we could also translate it that way. Today, the language of servants and slaves can have a very negative connotation. In fact, even back then, being a slave was certainly negative as well. The Torah narrative is about going from slavery to freedom, from the narrowness of Egypt, because the word for Egypt is Mitzrayim, which also means narrowness, to the expansiveness of the Midbar, the wild outdoors. Even in the morning blessings, Birkot HaShachar, the blessings traditionally said every day, the third bracha, the third blessing, says, Blessed is the divine who has not made me an aved, a slave or a servant. So clearly being a slave was never a good thing at any point in the tradition. However, this strong imagery of the servant or slave is also used to describe our relationship with the divine. The goal is to live in a way that's often described as being a servant or a slave of God, an Eved Hashem. Now, if you understand that the name of God really means being or existence or truth, then you can see that being a servant of God really means being in alignment with the truth of what is. The opposite of that, of course, is resisting what is, being in conflict with what is. That's the essence of ego, and it's also the inner meaning of Mitzrayim, or Egypt. So being free from Egypt and being a slave of God are really two sides of one thing, depending on how you look at it. You're either a slave of your ego, going around creating conflict in your life, or you're free from ego, but then you're a slave, so to speak, of God, meaning you totally accept reality as your authority, moment by moment. But then he goes one step deeper. He says not only should you be an Eved, but you should be an Eved that is not serving to get some reward out of it. In other words, he's saying your service should be for its own sake, not for some future result. But how is this possible? Why would you be a servant of God, or put another way, why would you make the effort training yourself to be present if you weren't going to get something out of it, if it wasn't really good for you, which of course it is? Here's an example of how this might work. Suppose you saw a baby crawl over to an open hot oven and reach toward the open oven door. What would you do? Probably you would leap up to save the baby from getting burned, right? Now, if we look at this situation, what do we find? First, there's the quality of immediacy. There's no decision-making process. The instant you perceive the situation, you know what you must do. There's no choice. Now, of course, I don't mean that you don't have free will. Theoretically, you could choose not to help the baby. What I mean is that you would probably not go through any decision-making process. There would be only the situation and immediate response. So, we might say that the situation commands the response, and that actually the situation and the response are not separate at all. One leads to the other, with no space for the sense of me to consider what to do. The second quality we find is that actually there's no conflict between my interests and the baby's interests. You just do it. There's no sense that you're doing something for someone else in that moment. If someone came up to you afterward and said, "You saved the baby. What a heroic, saintly person you are," that would be kind of overdoing it. It's not saintly, it's just obvious. So there's the quality of selflessness, not in the sentimental sense of being some kind of special saint, but literally the absence of self as something separate from the situation. Finally, in the moments after preventing the baby from getting burned, there would probably be a sense of relief and gratitude. Thank God, the baby is safe. Later, there might be all kinds of other thoughts. Who left the hot open door open with an unattended baby crawling around? The ordinary thinking mind would return with its judgments, opinions, and commentary. But before that, just thank God for the blessing of the moment. So there's the quality of gratitude. Now, I think we can begin to see what Antigonus meant. Saving the baby is its own reward, aimed not at some future time, but at the present, for its own sake. In Hebrew, doing something for its own sake is called lishma, literally, for its own name. When you do something lishma, it means your motivation isn't aimed somewhere else. You're just living life as it is in the present. Again, that doesn't mean there wouldn't be any sense of future result. Of course, you pick up the baby so that it won't get hurt in the immediate future. It's not about pretending that time doesn't exist and that things don't have consequences. It just means that your mind and heart are connected primarily to the life of the present, rather than living in the imaginary world of the future in your mind. So let's focus on these three qualities, immediacy, selflessness, and gratitude, for our chanting and meditation. So take a moment to prepare yourself, if you're able. Come into a comfortable position, either seated, standing, or lying down, or walking, or whatever's comfortable, but allows you to be alert. Take a few nice deep breaths, bringing awareness to the flow and movement of your breathing, relaxing any muscle tension you become aware of. We'll use the last line of the Mishnah, which says, Yehi mora shamayim aleichem. Yehi means be. So the word yehi, or be, will be the quality of immediacy, the quality of presence. The next two words are mora shamayim. Mora is awe. It's a different form of the more common word yira, which can also be translated as fear. But it's not fear in the sense of worry or terror or anxiety, but in the sense of awe and respect, the same way you'd have respect for a mountain you're climbing. When you climb a mountain, you must have full and serious attentiveness. The mountain isn't malicious, but you need to pay attention. So that's mora, respectful attentiveness. Shamayim is heaven, and heaven is expansiveness or space. The space of the present moment is something that doesn't change. Everything in the present moment is constantly changing to some degree, but the present itself is just the nothingness, the infinite space in which everything is happening. So to have Morah Shemayim means that you are respectfully attentive to the empty space of this moment. When you really do that, your awareness is intensified, and there's no room for the separate me to exist. It's that instant where all you're doing is picking up the baby in front of the hot oven. That's Morah Shemayim, awe of heaven. The last word, Aleichem, means upon you. So the whole phrase, Yehi Morah Shemayim Aleichem, means let the awe of heaven be upon you. To simply be in a state of presence, attending to the space of this moment, is a tremendous gift to come upon you. So this last word, Aleichem, will correspond to the quality of gratitude. As we chant these words, let's do some movement to embody the three qualities, immediacy, selflessness, and gratitude. If you're not able to do the movements right now, you can simply imagine the movements. When we chant Yehi, bring your hands together in prayer pose to your forehead area, palms together, fingers pointing upward. Let's try it. Bring hands together up to your forehead and chant. Yehi. Have the sense of just being in this moment, whatever's present for you just as it is, present as body sensation, as feeling, as everything happening as it happens. Now bring your hands down, still in prayer pose, palms together, to your heart, and chant Morah Shemayim. Morah Shemayim, awe of heaven. Have the sense of offering yourself to this moment. Your presence is a gift to all existence, an act of love. Now separate your hands and open them, palms up, and chant Aleichem, upon you. Aleichem. Let this word give thanks for the gift of this moment, the gift of this teaching of presence and opportunity to practice in this life, to freely choose this practice. And again, hands in prayer pose to your forehead, presence with being. Yehi. And bring hands to the heart, still in prayer pose, offering your attention lovingly to this moment. Morah Shemayim. And opening your hands, palms up in gratitude. Aleichem. And let's take a few minutes in silence, silently repeating the words in your mind instead of chanting them out loud. And if you find that your mind is ready to let go of the words and just dwell in presence, then you can let your mind relax and stop the inner chanting. And if you notice any thoughts beginning to arise, you can just bring yourself back, coming back with the chant, Yehi Morah Shemayim Aleichem. And after a few minutes, I'll bring you back with piano music. And now gratitude for the teachings and the lineage. Ah Yisrael, va Rabbanan, va Tamidehon, va Tamidehon. Upon Israel and upon the teachers and their students and all the students of their students. And upon all who engage in the learning of the sacred wisdom here or anywhere else. May they and you have abundant peace, grace, kindness, compassion, long life, ample nourishment on all levels, and salvation from all dangers from before the one reality that fills heaven and earth. Vimru, Amen.